Yeah, so we started looking at some of these connections of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how the lineage of Jesus, and how we were able to see even from Judah to David, and then up to Christ, and then it even goes further, even up to Abraham, and I mean farther back. And let's look at the book of Matthew. And we will just start with chapter 1, where we'll start to look at this story that we've been looking at, and the story of Christ and him coming as a man. And usually the book of Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus. And at times these are parts where people skip quickly and run to look at other things. But I always believe that there are always anything that is written in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit had a specific reason why he wanted us to see or to read about, and there are always lessons that we get from looking at scripture. And so when we look at verse 1, it says that the book, Matthew chapter 1, says that the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, remember when we look at, yesterday, the other time when we met, we spoke about God establishing a throne for David, and it promised him that he will give him, his descendants. They will always have a descendant on the throne, and this descendant becomes Jesus Christ, becomes the Christ, and he is the Messiah, the one who rules forever. And the book of Matthew is written ideally for Jews. The audience is Jews, and there was a need to connect the believers that they were the new Israel, in that you'll find that a lot of the connections here is the kingdom of God. The kingdom is about kingdom, and we see the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you can even see later on, you see the Beatitudes, where we have the laws. It becomes like Matthew portrays Jesus as the new lawgiver, in that he is the one who comes to give the new law, the new covenant, and gives the Beatitudes, and the Sermon on the Mount. Ideally, all that Sermon on the Mount is like a reflection of the law being written again, or being added again. But when we see this connection of the son of David and the son of Abraham, remember the promise of God to David was that his son, or he will have his heir on the throne forever. And we were able to see last time that this was because of David's heart. He gave himself, he offered himself as to build a house for God, where he saw where he was living, and his heart was moved towards that. And God say that, since you thought about this, though I did not ask you, I'm going to build an eternal house for you. And then we also can see his link to the son of Abraham. And remember, when we see in Galatians chapter 3, we are told that the promise that was given to Abraham was given to Abraham and his seed, and not his seeds, not offspring. So it was one seed, and that one seed, the Bible tells us that one seed is Christ. And that blessing that Abraham will be given, remember the blessing of Abraham, that I will make your name great. I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. I will give you inheritance of the land. And God had a great promise for Abraham. And we are partakers of the same promise through faith in Jesus Christ, whether Jews or Gentiles, and we are the blessing. The blessing of Abraham comes upon us by faith. And so likewise, that's why we can see the connection between the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, if you look at the other genealogy, it goes up to Adam, but this one starts from Abraham in the book of Matthew. So it states, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And let me just, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Now it could look like two simple lines, but you have to think of it that there is a story. You know, when Isaac became the father of Jacob, Jacob, ideally, the first son, remember we looked at, was supposed to be Reuben. But because Reuben was unstable, he went and slept with his father's concubine. Then he lost that right, and we were able to see that Judah now becomes the given the firstborn rights. And so, and Judah means praise. So Judah now carries the lineage of the Christ, in that it ideally it should have gone through Reuben, but it now goes through Judah. And then now we have this interesting Perez and Zerah. Now you have to go back to Genesis 38 to understand how it is that Perez comes in as in the lineage of Jesus. Now when you look at Genesis 38, you will see a story of Judah and Tamar. And Judah married a concubine woman, and ideally what happened, and it's just one chapter in Genesis 38 which gives this story. And what happens in summary is that he married a Canaanite woman, and then she had three sons. She had first two sons, one was called Er, the other was called Onan, and then there was a young one called Shelah. So what happened is that when Er became, you know, mature, Judah got him a wife, but then he was evil. Er was evil, and God, you know, killed him, and this wife was called Tamar. Then later on, because in their culture you had to give, you know, if your brother dies, the younger brother has to take over and generate children for the first brother. So the second brother was called Onan, was told to go in and be with Er, with Tamar, his brother's wife. But then he will go and do it, and the Bible tells us that he will waste the seed, and that was wicked in God's eyes, and because he was not performing that duty, God killed him. So now Judah had two sons who were killed, who died, and all in the connection with Tamar. And so Judah was scared that if he gives the third son to this woman Tamar, then what happens is that her third son will die. So he tells Tamar, you go and stay back in your father's house. When my son grows, then I will bring him to you, and you can he can give you children. So Tamar goes back to her father's home, and she stays there as a widow. She lives as a widow. But then in the course of time, Judah's own wife dies. And when Judah's wife dies, he decides to go, after he has mourned, he decides to go to, you know, to take care of some sheep. But as he goes there, this lady Tamar hears that her father-in-law is passing by and he will come through their city. And so she goes and dresses as a prostitute. And then when she does that, Judah goes in and sleeps with her. And Judah promises that she will give, he will send a goat, you know, as a payment. But then she says, will you leave me first your signet ring and your staff? And then she leaves that, he leaves that, and eventually she goes away and she becomes pregnant because she wasn't there. She did that and did not go back to the road. So she becomes pregnant, and immediately Judah is told that your daughter-in-law is pregnant by immorality, and he says, immediately bring her out so that we can kill her, or rather we can kill her, and that was a punishment for immorality. But then she sends him the message, she sends him that I am pregnant by this man, and she shows that the signet ring and the staff of Judah. And Judah realizes that she is more, you know, she's more righteous than he, and she says, and that ends the inquiry, and she's no longer punished. But then what happens is that she gives birth to two children. And there was the first son who was called Perez, and Perez means breaking out, in that when the two children were coming out, there was a firstborn son who was trying to come out with his hands. The midwife put the rope on the hand, but then when the hand went back, the other brother came out. and he's called Perez. And so Perez became the first one. So we can see, first of all, there's a story of shame here, a story of widowhood, a story of a woman who lost two brothers, or who lost her husband and lost the other brother and was rejected by her father-in-law. But then out of trickery, she gets a son from her father-in-law. And this one is the one that God chooses to be in the lineage of Christ. Then verse 4 tells us, and Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. Now from verse 5, we're given another link of two women. Now, Salmon, because when you think of the lineage of Jesus, it's four women who are mentioned. The first one you've seen is Tamar. Then we're now seeing Rahab, and we're seeing Ruth. And then later on, we'll see Uriah. And then lastly, we'll see, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So ideally five, but the four that are critical. So when we look at Rahab, you have to remember, who was Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute that was in Jericho. And remember, when the spies went in to find the land, the Bible says that they came to the house of Rahab and they wanted to be hidden. And Rahab herself said, "We have, the city is shaking. We have all heard that of what you have done, of how the Israelites you have wasted, you know, the Egyptians, and we are all in fearful of your God. We are all in fear of your God." And the Bible says she hid the spies. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that she's among the heroes of faith, because the Bible says by faith, Rahab hid the spies and she was considered righteous. You know, so now someone will say, oh yeah, so is it okay that God considers the, you know, prostitutes to be okay? But you see, what made her righteous was that she had faith in the God of Israel, and she was considered righteous. And you see how God, you know, is a God of interesting ways. He brings in grace, he shows his mercy, and he ensures that Rahab somehow comes into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so Boaz marries Rahab, and this, she becomes the mother, or even the great-grandmother of David. And Boaz, who is the father of Obed by Ruth. And remember, think of Ruth. Ruth was not even an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabite woman. And you can think of the book of Ruth, where it gives us the story of this man who went during famine. He went, he had his wife, Naomi, and they went to Moab during the time of famine. And there they had two children, and both the husband died and the two sons died, and the two sons had married two women, Ophrah and Ruth. And when Naomi wanted to go back to Israel, to Bethlehem, she asked those two women to go back, but Ophrah left. But then Ruth said, your people will be my people and your God my God, and I will never leave you. And Ruth came back with Naomi. And by her coming back, you know, then Boaz identifies her and marries her as a kinsman redeemer. And we can see that even foreigners and even women who are widowed and those who are, you know, abandoned, who are considered in the lineage of Jesus. And Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. Now, when we carry on, we see that David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Think of Bathsheba. You know, you can think of that. And the Bible is clearly saying Solomon by the wife. I mean, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. You would have thought that, you know, I mean, when God punished David for his, you know, immorality by sleeping with the wife of Uriah, and that first child was died, God still showed grace to David, and Solomon comes through that lineage. And that shows us something about God, that you can never write off someone, and God is always in the business of mercy. that person who is rejected by all men, that person who is despised by people, the one who everyone considers has failed, those are the ones that God chooses. The Bible says God does not choose, you know, the strong things or the wise people, but he chooses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. You know, he chooses those ugly things, those rejected things, so that he can show people that it is not by human effort, but it is by the grace of God. And so we can see that God also continues the lineage of Christ, or the genealogy of Christ, through also Solomon, who is also a product of his father David, you know, taking on the wife of Uriah. And verse 7 tells us, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. And remember, think of this, were the kings of Judah. And remember, Rehoboam lost the kingdom. They were split into two. So the northern kingdom, the ten tribes go, and then the two tribes remain for Israel. And okay, verse 8, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Remember Uzziah, the one who saw, you know, who was in the time of Isaiah. Then Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, father of Manasseh, Manasseh, father of Amos, Amos, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of deportation to Babylon. So remember, Israelites sinned. First of all, the kingdom of Israel was taken by the Assyrians, and that all those 10 tribes disappeared from history. But then these two tribes of Judah and Benjamin that were taken to Babylon are the ones that were deported, and later they come back. So we can just see how God still shows his mercy to Israel, shows his mercy to David, shows his mercy to Abraham, to still maintain for himself that lineage that he is going to bring the Christ through. We can see the continuity of the purposes of God. You know, God is so into the details. He is so into his purposes that whatever he has purposed to do in our lives, he shall fulfill it. No matter, you know, whether there's discouragements along the way, whether there are failures along the way, it is God who promised. It is God who promised Abraham that his offspring, you know, shall possess the nations. It is also God who promised David that his son, his offspring, shall also rule forever. So it is God that fulfills his promise. And just think of us now. It is God himself who has promised that he will save us. It is him who has promised that he will take us to heaven. It is him who has promised that he is the one who calls us righteous. And everything that God has promised for us, it is him that shall fulfill it. When he says, I will make a new covenant with them, to not be like the covenant of old, I will write my laws in their hearts. No longer will anyone need to teach his brother about telling them, know me. When he says, I will forgive their sins and remember their wickedness no more, I will never leave them. You know, it is God who has promised that forever that he shall be with us. We are in an eternal covenant. And that is where we must always be encouraged that it is God who has guaranteed our inheritance. It is God who has guaranteed our salvation, that our salvation is not, yes, we have our part to play, but ideally it is not of our human effort. It is by the hand of God. It is by the grace of God. It is him who has promised. It is him who will do it, and it is him who will sustain it. For our job is simply to believe in Christ, to believe in the one he sent, and to live that life that reflects we are a people who believe in who Christ and what Christ has done. Verse 12 says, and after the deportation to Babylon, Jechoniah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matthan, and Matthan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. Verse 17, and so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon 14 generations, and from the deportation of to Babylon to the Christ 14 generations. So you can think of how God is links it up. And we know, of course, Joseph was not really the biological father of Christ, but just the earthly father. And since he was willing to take Mary as his wife and to raise up Christ, he becomes, and that's why Jesus is called, is this not the carpenter's son, Joseph's son, and are his brothers and sisters not here with us? So we can see that God had purpose that Christ, Jesus Christ, will come through the lineage of David, through the lineage of Abraham. But we can also see that this lineage was not perfect. I mean, there are issues there. There are concerns of Tamar. There are concerns of Bathsheba. There are concerns of Ruth. There are concerns of Rahab. But you see, it is God that calls. The election of God is never it's never fair, as people say. God's grace is not fair. It's not fair in terms of that we can tell him, oh, why did you choose this? No, it is God that chooses. And once he has loved us, he has called us. And that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus came to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And anyone who believes in him enters into that favor of God. And that means you become God's favorite. You experience God's grace and God works with us. So as we reflect on this, there's a lot there, but as we look back, what we learn today is that one is God is very specific. God is very clear on how he has promised. God fulfills his promises. Despite the challenges, God uses the weak vessels, that those are despised, those that are not. But at the end of the day, what we see is that God was connecting us to all these promises, and we come into this promise. We ourselves come and become part of Christ, and we are joined to Christ when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we are blessed. We are blessed, and we are not just outside of it, but we are also connected to it, and we are also partakers of this same blessing that God had purposed in his word and even for us. So I think that's where I'll stop for today, and tomorrow we'll be able to carry on from there and start to look at the birth of Christ and other aspects of it. So I'll stop there and welcome my brother, as God allows you.
Thank you, Dr. Banner. Not much from my side. Thank you.
Okay then, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your word. That indeed in simple things, in things that we don't consider, you are able to speak to us, you are able to direct us, you are able to show us your grace and mercy. You've shown us that indeed you call the things that are not as if they were. You call the ugly things, the despised things, the things that are rejected by men, and you call them to be, O God. And I praise your name that even today you are still in the business of calling back people to you, even those that men have rejected, even those that are lost in alcoholism, in drugs, that you are able to release your word to them, that they can hear you, that they can know your voice, they can hear you, they can be guided by you, they can be strengthened by you, O God. I pray for your hand upon us, upon our family members, upon our workplaces, upon the people that we serve, O God. The Lord, your grace and your hand and your protection shall be with them and watch over them. We rebuke sickness in our midst. We pray for your healing hand to flow. We pray for your provision. Those that have various needs, and Lord, you make a way, O God. Even we pray for those that are not saved, that indeed may they be part of this blessing. May they connect to this blessing of David, the blessing of Abraham, that comes through our Lord Jesus and Savior Christ, our Lord. And I thank you that, Lord, your word may it continue to bear fruit in our hearts, and that indeed no one is rejected, no one is lost, and no one is completely lost. You are able, and you are able to bring restoration. Indeed, in everything that we do, may your hand and presence go with us and keep us and sustain us until we meet again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.